This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're going to read Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, إِذَا عَطَسَ أَحَدُكُمْ, when one of you sneezes.
Narrated Abu Hurairah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you sneezes, he should say, Alhamdulillah, praises to Allah, and his brother should say to him, يَرْحَمْكُمْ Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. When he says, he should reply, يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِهُ
بَلَالَكُمْ.
May Allah guide you and give you well-being. Al-Bukhari reported it.
Yes. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا عطس أحدكم فليقل الحمد لله وليقل له أخوه أو صاحبه يرحمك الله. His brother or his friends, in one narration, يرحمك الله. فإذا قال له يرحمك الله فليقل له يهديكم الله ويصلح بالكم. الصنعاني رحمه الله said, I wish that he brought this hadith in the beginning of the chapter. You remember in the beginning he mentioned the hadith, the right of every Muslim upon every Muslim. And he mentioned it, when you sneeze, you say, Arhamuka Allah to him. So I wish that he brought this hadith in the beginning. But maybe Ibn Hajar rahimahullah delayed this hadith to this particular spot because the hadith before and the hadith after is speaking about relationships, about interaction with people in society. If you notice all the hadith, the previous one, about how to eat in public, how to talk to public, how to give salam to Muslim, non-Muslim. So if somebody in public sneezes, basically what to say to him or to her. And I don't agree with the Sana'ani rahimahullah that him mentioning this hadith in this particular place is a bad thing. Actually, I think it's a very thoughtful of him, rahimahullah. As-Sanani, for you to know, he wrote the most famous explanation for the collection of hadith of Ibn Hajar, Bulugh al-Maram, that we study, this collection of hadith. The one who explained it and his explanation became very famous, Al-Imam As-Sanani, has a book of 4 volumes. It's called Subul al-Salam, fi sharhi ahadithi Bulugh al-Maram. Anyway, this hadith is in al-Bukhari. I give you something interesting and I want to ask to see what you guys think of that. يقولون هذا الحديث إسناده كله مدنيون. This hadith, the isnad of it, all of them madanis. يعني all of them from what? From where? From Medina, except al-Bukhari. Everybody from al-Bukhari's teacher all the way to the Prophet ﷺ, to the companions, okay, all of them in Medina. Why ul-ulama would mention something like that? Why would we care? Why do you think the scholar of hadith care about this? That means anything to the hadith. It means that the hadith more authentic. يعني Medina more authentic than Yemen, Yemen more authentic than Egypt. Than Pakistan, I'm sure. There's no Pakistan at that time. What it will be? طيب, imagine if Aqib says, طيب, oh, Sheikh Mufti Menk told us. You know Mufti Menk? Have you heard of him? Mufti Menk said this and this to us. طيب, Aqib, by knowing him, he is Histonian or he is Lahorian. From Lahore? Lahore, sir? So he's either Lahorian or Histonian. That's where he lived. He never went to Mozambique. See, when he said, Mufti Menk told me, I have a question mark. Maybe he didn't hear from him directly. He heard it on YouTube. He heard it from someone else. You see? But if he says, Sheikh Waleed told us, he lived in Houston. Waleed lives in Houston. So most likely he what? He heard him. So I have more trust that they met each other. That's why the hadith became more authentic and more powerful if we know that they lived in the same place, in the same city, or they lived, or they made Hajj in the same time. And they said, I met in Hajj, or he told us in Mecca, or something like that. So whenever I can establish the connection between the narrator, I feel more comfortable with the authenticity of the hadith. Does that make sense? That's why scholars care about هذا حديث عراقي, حجازي, مدني, مكي, بصري, and so forth. طيب. He said, يرحمك الله. طيب. يعني يرحمك الله, may Allah, or Allah's mercy upon you. Allah's mercy upon you. Is that a statement or a request? يرحمك الله. هل هذا طلب ولا خبر? It sounds like a statement. Allah's mercy upon you. It's like when I see somebody sick, أقول طهور. هذا خبر وكأنه طهور. ما أقول أسأل الله أن يكون طهورا. السنة تقول طهور إن شاء الله. It is tahur. It's a purification, inshallah. That's one of the why of dua, that you make it a statement. Why? Because you have full trust in Allah that He will accept your dua. And subhanAllah, ikhwan, أنا أعطيكم هذه القاعدة. Take this as a rule of thumb. كلما عظم يقينك في الله وأنت تدعو أجابك الله. When you have so much trust in your heart, when you make dua, your dua is the closest ever to Allah. Why? لأن الدعاء حقيقته من القلب لا من اللسان. Because a dua really comes from the heart, not from the tongue. And one of the most important element in dua is what? Is your heart. That you, your heart is so into what you're saying. وذلك كان عمر رضي الله عنه يقول إني لأحمل هم الدعاء ولا أحمل هم الإجابة. I care about a dua itself. I don't care about what will be given, answered, how to say. Like, what most concern is the dua itself, that it comes with sincerity, that I really mean what I am saying, and I have full confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, يهديكم الله. He sneezes, he says, Alhamdulillah. You say, يهديك, يرحمك الله. And we said before, if you remember, because if this sneeze did not come out the way it comes out right now, it would have been a disaster. You remember we told that it's like the speed of the air. The speed of the air is equal to what? Do you remember? 80 miles an hour. The speed of that air. Imagine if that goes on right, if there's a, like, it goes to the wrong direction. It will damage maybe your brain, your eyes, something like. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that, so it's Allah's mercy appear in that sneeze. So say, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. So it's really a statement, because the way you sneeze, it shows the mercy. So the mercy of Allah is two type. رَحْمَةٌ دُنْيَوِيَّةٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. رَحْمَةٌ دِينِيَّةٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ كَوْنِيَّةٌ. Allah's mercy is two type. A mercy that related to this life, and a mercy related to the akhirah. A mercy related to religious issues, what he loves, what he loves to forgive. Allah's mercy that he'll forgive your sins. Allah's mercy, he guides you to pray. Allah's mercy to these things. But also there is another mercy which is has to do with the universe. يعني من رحمة الله, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made your hair the way it is. Can you imagine if your hair have the same sense of nerve system in your skull? Well, in your skin. Just can you imagine that? You gonna come all, mashallah, bearded and mustache and hair long. Nobody gonna cut his hair. Because to cut your hair, you need to have anesthesia. You have to put you to sleep, to drug you, because, you know, it's become a surgery. Can you imagine if your hair or your nails have the same nerve system? But out of Allah's mercy, He did it something that you don't feel it. You cut it, there's no feeling. It doesn't hurt. That's right. So, That's just simple thing. Can you imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the oxygen is not available as it is right now? That's mercy. So the universal mercy question, for mu'min or for kafir or for everyone, even jinn, ins, animals, for everyone. I remember I got a phone call when I first came to the United States. Ma ansaha. I got a phone call from, what's that city in North Florida? Big city in North Florida. Jacksonville. So in Jacksonville, they ask me about, they want to make a prayer for rain because it was drought and it was very bad. So they ask if it's okay to do a prayer, al istisqa, to ask for rain. And I said, yes, because Allah's rain is a mercy. The rain is mercy. And Allah's mercy in the rain is for what? For everyone. So you are allowed to pray, absolutely. And subhanAllah, yani just for the shay yudhkar, that day, that year when they do, there is about like 5 years or 7 years, no drop of rain in Jacksonville. There is nothing predict any rain. So the imam at that time has graduated from Medina. He went outside in a public square and he took a permission from the mayor. So became a public news, and they made the Salat al-Istisqa in the morning. At Asr, it was soaking wet. So that what made the news go crazy over this masjid. And if you ever go to the Islamic Center of Jacksonville, when you walk on the left-hand side, there are bulletin board. They still have all the newspaper and all the talk and the articles was published at that time. The Muslims prayed for rain and God answered their call. So the point is, this is Allah's mercy. So here, when you say, Yarhamukallah, which mercy you meant or you mean? When I say Yarhamukallah, is it the thing has to do with the religion or the thing has to do with the worldly life? Like Allah's mercy upon you to be healthy, to be wealthy, to not never be poor, in need of anyone. Or I mean, Allah forgive your sin, Allah guide you, Allah make it easy for you to memorize the Quran, all the religious things you can think of. Or both. When I say Yarhamukallah. What I mean, which mercy I mean? So what about the, can we say both? Then when I make, may Allah's mercy descend, which mercy? Both of them. Can, as a, you guys not convinced. When I say, may Allah have mercy on you, what I mean by mercy? All kind of mercies related to this world and to the next. Related to your religion and related to your, basically, welfare. That's right. It's a beautiful dua. Yani, can you imagine how much khair comes if Allah just accept this from you? When you said to someone, Yarhamukallah, it's unbelievable amount of khair and goodness can come out of this. That's why you reply by something, even to tap this, to say, Yahdikumullah wa yuslihu ba'd. May Allah guide you. Tab, guide you to what? To Islam, to Sunnah, to religion, or guide you in your business, guide you in your study, guide you in the way you raise your kids, guide you to have the right spouse, guide you to have the right deal, guide you to eat the right food, or all the above. All the above. So a reply even is very general. That's why Hidayatullah Nawa'an. Guide you in this dunya and in the akhirah. You need to be guided in the akhirah, on the sirat, to be guided to answer the right questions in the grave. So the guidance is also very large, very common. وَيُصْلِحُ بَعْلَكُمْ. Anybody knows what يُصْلِحُ بَعْلَكُمْ means? It's Adhan time, Sheikh? A few minutes or already?
Right now.
Go ahead.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
البال البال يعني الشأن شأني سيهديهم ويصلح بالهم يعني يصلح شأنهم البال it means your affairs so Allah will guide you and will fix your affairs okay And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so will guide you and will grant you well-being. He translated this, right? or fix and huh? Give you well-being. Al-ba'al, it means your affairs, okay? So he will guide you and he will make all your affairs fixed and good and so forth. Also, al-ba'al in Arabic language, it means al-hal. حتى يقول, كيف بالك؟ يعني كيف حالك we say in Arabic كيف بالك how you doing okay so basically it means Allah will fix and help you to have all the things that you do to be good أيضا البال في لغة العرب يكون بمعنى القلب احنا نقول ما خطر على بالي يعني ما خطر على قلبي we say I never thought about it ما خطر بال يعني never I never thought about this so where the thoughts it's like your mind or your heart so البال it means so Allah سبحانه وتعالى will he will guide you and will make your thoughts and rest okay will take care of your worries and affairs and the thing that you think of أيضا في لغة العرب يقال البال بمعنى العيش يعني your well-being رخي البال يعني رخي العيش طيب and look you say يرحمك الله to him he replies to you with all this like with something even more wide more great as for all the ruling related to ta'itas we talked about this previously or in a previous hadith, he's not going to repeat it here again. Nas wasi in al baal, mashallah. Tayyib. Next hadith. Yuslihu baalahum.
Narrated Abu Huraira, Allah's Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of you should drink standing. Muslim reported this.
Say that again.
None of you should drink standing.
Yes, yeah. while standing now. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يشربن أحدكم قائما. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said you should not drink while standing. Reported by الإمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى. There is an narration or there is an addition to it. In Muslim as well, okay? وَمَنْ نَسِيَ فَلْيَسْتَقِئْ And if you forget, you should throw up what you just consumed. Okay? So this also an addition in Muslim. And if you forget, you should throw it up. And we'll talk about this, what that means. This extra addition to the hadith, which is to throw it up, also came an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anh, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو يعلم الذي يشرب وهو قائم ما في بطنه لاستقاء ما أمر. If in Muslim Ahmad, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you know what come inside you when you are drinking while standing, you would rather to throw it up. So the narration in Muslim Ahmad, he didn't say what? He didn't give an order to throw it up. He said, if you know, you would rather to throw it up than to consume the water or the drink while you are standing. طيب. But this narration, طيب, in Muslim, where the addition, it says, if you forget, you should throw it up, came from a narrator by the name of Amr ibn Hamzah ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. And there is a huge debate over this narrator. Is he authentic? Is he trustworthy? Or he is weak? So Imam Ahmad, al-Nasa'i, Ibn Ma'in, even Ibn Hajar, consider him weak. And because of this, al-Bukhari never reported any hadith for this man in his Sahih. And this is one of the things that people criticize Muslim for, that he narrated this addition from that man. Okay? And Malik rahimahullah used to reject this ahadith, and he said this narration that says don't drink while standing is not, are not authentic. طيب. But that's not true. There is authenticity in it, and there is many ahadith in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He encouraged us, okay, not to drink standing. For instance, in Sahih Muslim, in Hadith Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zajara an ash-shurbi qa'ima. He disliked, he ordered them not to drink standing. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us from drinking standing. Nahana an ash-shurbi qa'ima. Fi Ahmad. Al-Jarud bin al-Mu'alla radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us from drinking standing in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Abu Hurairah in Muslim Imam Ahmad and al-Tahawi Mushkil al-Athar said that the Prophet ﷺ said, نَهَا أَن يَشْرَبَ الرَّجُلُ قَائِمًا وَأَن يَشْرَبَ مِن فِيِّ السِّقَاءِ. He forbade the person to drink from, drink while standing, and to drink from where, فِيِّ السِّقَاءِ, what that means. Fiyu siqa, you know this, have you ever seen the skin water? Qirba. It has an opening, that's right. To go to the skin water is not for you, it's for everybody. So Nabi Sassan, do not what? You go to that opening and you put your mouth and you drink directly from it. It's disgusting. Some or not safe, it's not good. What about people coming after? So Nabi Sassan, don't do that. I give you example some kids do. I hope no adult do that. The fountain, the water fountain. They go and they stick their mouth. Have you seen this? They stick their mouth at the opening of the the opening of the water, like this. So they touch the water fountain. You don't touch the water fountain with your mouth. It's okay? Or there is like the sink, like, you know, the faucet. You go and you put your mouth on the faucet. You can't do that. Or let's say one time I saw something also in a gathering. There is a pitcher. You know, the pitcher, there is an area where basically the liquid comes from it, like, you know, like a opening. So somebody left the whole entire thing, and from that opening, he put his mouth a drink from it. But somebody after you gonna come, maybe pour from it. You can't do that. So, or somebody tell me, can I try your juice? That was last night. Okay? Man, it was a very nice lemonade with mint, with a hint of ginger. You know, it's like professionally done. It's so nice. And it's expensive too. Okay? I'm enjoying my drink. And it's really like the guy really balanced the mint and the ginger and the, you know, no sugar, just a little bit of honey on it. Like I said, that's going to boost my immunity. And this brother, mashallah, said, Sheikh, can I try it? I said, sure, go ahead. Guess what? He drinks from the straw. Oh, my God. You can drink from the glass if you have to. From the straw? هذا فيه السقاء. This is like because I have to touch where you touch. You're not my wife, you know? So you can't do that. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم teaching us the best of etiquette. And I want you to imagine this, guys. We living in a very advanced, modern, well-educated etiquette society, صح? We talking about 1,400 years. There is no concept of etiquettes in these deserts and Bedouins and the world and Europe, and nobody cares about stuff like that. But in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did not raise just an ummah that knows how to pray, but he knows how to pray, it knows how to talk, how to eat, how to deal, how to respect other feeling people's feelings. And it's amazing how those religion is. طيب. This addition, فليستقئ, throw up, I don't believe it's authentic. And the best I can say, it is a statement from the narrator. The narrator said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade people from drinking standing. Then the narrator said, okay, one of the narrators of the hadith said, and if you forget, you should throw it up. It's his opinion, but not a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I guess that leads us straight to the first issue in this hadith. What is the ruling in regard to drinking standing? Is it haram? It is dislike? Is it permissible? What do we do with all this hadith that I just mentioned earlier? It's very, very explicit. You heard me saying 5-6 hadith. Very explicit. Do not drink standing. He forbades us from doing that. So what do we do with this? Ibn Hazm rahimahullah and Imam al-San'ani said, these ahadith establish the ruling of prohibition. So it's prohibited, it's haram. But not the majority, that's the opinion of these two scholars and very few. The overwhelming scholars, number of scholars, and the majority of the scholars said no. إِنَّمَا هُوَ مَكْرُوهُ Disliked. But dislike, it doesn't mean it's okay. Dislike, still dislike. You should not do it. Why? Because it is, number one, contradicted by another ahadith, shows that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consumed water while he's standing. So, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not drink while you're standing. Then we found out that he drank some water while he's standing. How can we reconciliate? One of the way we understand this, that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this to make a point, that when I told you don't, it doesn't mean haram, it means just dislike, just to make the point. That's one of the way to understand this. Also, because usually the etiquettes of eating and drinking, it's something has to do with the mustahabbat, recommended act. طيب. So, if this is the case, how ulama understood these narrations? How ulama rahimahullah understood these narrations, which it says, he forbade us from drinking and standing, don't drinking and standing. How can we understand this hadith? Number one, some scholars said that the hadith that it says, don't drink standing, it's forbidden to drink standing, I prohibit you and I forbade you to do that. These ahadith were abrogated, nusikhat, by another ahadith to show you it is permissible. So for those scholars said, drinking standing is like drinking sitting. No difference. Why? Because they said it was abrogated. Abrogated by what? They said Hadith Ali radiallahu an. And in Nazal ibn Sabra, قال أتى علي رضي الله عنه على باب الرحبة فشرب قائما فقلت إن أناسا يكرهون يكره أحدهم أن يشرب وهو قائم قال وإني رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل كما رأيتموني فعلت في البخاري. They said they saw Ali drinking standing, so they said, there is people said, no, we should not do that. He said, don't worry about them or something like that. Then he said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ drinking standing. And this hadith in Bukhari. Hadith ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drink from Zamzam standing in Hajj. This is in Bukhari wa Muslim. The third hadith, Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, that Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu maqala ra'aytu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yanfatilu an yaminihi wa an shimalih wa ra'aytu yusalli hafiyan wa munta'ila wa ra'aytu yashrabu qa'iman wa qa'ida. Rahu Ahmad. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he finished his salah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, then you want to turn. Do you turn from this side or this side? Abdullah ibn Amr said, I saw him doing both. Sometimes this way, sometimes this way, from the left and the right, so it doesn't really matter. And he said, I saw the Prophet praying sometimes with shoes and without shoes. So nobody said, oh, you should pray with your shoes because it's sunnah. Nabi prayed without shoes. Or somebody prayed sometimes with his shoes. No, take off your shoes. Not in the masjid, obviously, because we have carpet now, but let's say you're traveling or someplace, public place or in park, you can do with your shoes, as long as it's clean. And he said, and I saw the Prophet drinking while he's standing and while he is sitting. Reported by Ahmad. Hadith Kabsha bint Thabit radiallahu anha, she said, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered our house and he drank from a skin water, qirba. It was tight to the pillar of the tent or the house. And basically she said, I opened it for him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened it and the water started basically going down to his mouth. He didn't touch like the qirba, but from a distance. He was standing. Also, Anas, Hadith Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, كُنَّا نَأْكُلُ عَلَىٰ عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَنَحْنُ نَمْشِي وَنَشْرَبُ وَنَحْنُ قِيَامٌ. He said, Ibn Umar, we used to drink, to eat while we are walking, and we used to drink while we are standing during the process of time. We, يعني the companions. And he never forbade us, he saw us, he never, there is nothing wrong with that. The hadith number six, that Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drank laban, milk, while he's standing. And on his right-hand side was A'rabi, a Bedouin. And in his left-hand side, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then he said, Anas, I saw the Prophet of A'rabi, unknown person, just somebody from the desert came. But in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he gave the A'rabi the rest of the milk. He didn't give Abu Bakr because he's in his right side. And Nabi, whenever he drinks something, he will pass it to the one on the right side. And he said, Al-Aymana fal-Ayman. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you finish, give it to the one who's on your right hand side. When you finish, give it to the one on the right hand side. Reported by Al-Bazzar. Also, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, and Nabi ﷺ drank while he drank, and he consumed water while he is standing and sitting. Okay? And he walked with shoes and he walked barefoot. And when he finishes salah, sometimes he will leave the salah or he will turn from the or leave from the right side or the left side. And Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu said, Ra'aytu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also qama ila qirbatin mu'allaqa fakhanathaha thumma shariba minha, yani qata'aha thumma shariba minha. He drank from a skin water was hanging. He made a cut on its like opening, made an opening and he drank from it. And also Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the previous hadith in the Tirmidhi, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink while he's standing, reported by Tabarani. And I have like 5 more hadith, but I think the point is established. Okay? So here, this is a hadith that al-ulama said it abrogates. Okay? The other ahadith. See, al-ulama rahimahullah, when they look at this ahadith that said it's okay, and this ahadith that it said it's haram, they establish 3 opinions. One, it is permissible, based on the large number of narrations said that the Prophet ﷺ drank while he is standing. And this is the opinion of Umar, wa Ali, wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, wa ibn Umar, wa Abdullah ibn Zubayr, wa Aisha, wa Uthman, wa Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, wa Nusiba, and it's been said also Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, wa ibn Abbas, Salim, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Tawus ibn Kaysan, الحسن البصري إبراهيم النخعي سعيد بن مسيب مجاهد بن جبر from the تابعين large number of scholars the مالكي the شافعي the حنبلي all said it's permissible it's not even مكروه جواز okay the second opinion okay it is dislike It's okay, you know, it's not sin, but it's dislike. And this is the opinion of Anas, Jabir, also been said that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and al-Hasan al-Basri, and this is the most common narration or authentic narration from him, al-Imam al-Sha'bi rahimahullah. And this is an opinion among the Hanabila and the position of the Hanafis. Okay, and one opinion for al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, and that's the opinion that is chosen by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And even some ulama said there is ijma' consensus that it is makruh, but there is no ijma'. Many scholars said other than karaha. Some said haram, some said it's permissible. Haram, forbidden. It's an opinion to some Hanafi, okay? And Ibn Hazm, and Ibn al-Mulaqqir rahimahullah said, whoever said haram, his opinion is shadh, weak. Why it is weak? Because there is plenty of narration to show you permissibility of drinking while standing. So what we do with this hadith that looks like contradicting, it's a case study that I want to show you, so you understand there is no narrations contradict each other in Islam. It's a good case study. So you have a large number of narrations said no, larger number of narrations said it is okay. As I said, some said it abrogates. So, the one who said it is permissible, they said the ahadith that shows you the permissibility of drinking or the Prophet drink while standing, abrogate the ahadith that said don't. But Ibn Hazm and his group who said haram, they said no, it's the other way around. The ahadith that says you're not allowed to drink while you're standing, abrogated the ahadith that it shows the permissibility. Do you see how that? Because there is no narration saying this one abrogate this one. So here, what do we do in a problem like this? We always say we have a rules. And this is a very good rule by the majority of the fuqaha. We don't go with abrogation unless we have a very clear evidence that one of them abrogate the other. لا نذهب للنسخ إلا مع وجود الدليل القطعي. The Prophet ﷺ said, "I forbade you to visit the graveyard, but now I encourage you to do so." So we have one abrogate the other. If we have something like that, good. But if you don't have any explicit evidence to show you that there is an abrogation, we don't go with the abrogation. The one who always like to take the abrogation approach are the Hanafi scholars. Al-Jumhur, no. One of the reasons the scholars, the major scholars, don't like the approach of abrogation, because when you say this one abrogate this one, that means one of them will be canceled. One of them became kind of useless. So they said, why? They يقولون الجمع أولى من الطرح. To reconcile, better than to cancel one of them, if you can reconcile between them. طيب. Definitely, if you're going to go the abrogation route, you should go with the route of the permissibilities abrogated the forbidden. Why? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drink while he's in Hajj, and the Hajj is in the end of his lifetime. And also because the Sahaba continued drinking, like Ali radiallahu anhu and others, after the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it shows you that in the end of the Prophet's life, that he used to drink while he's standing. So if I'm going to take the route of abrogations, no doubt that this is the correct one. But there is another approach, which is trying to reconcile, to say, let's say one is more stronger than others. One weak and one strong. So they said the ahadith of al-ibaha, that shows permissibility, are a large number, more authentic in al-Bukhari or Muslim. The other one either in al-Bukhari by itself or Muslim by itself or Tirmidhi. But this one in al-Bukhari or Muslim. And there is a huge number of narrations. Many companions reported the permissibility of drinking, standing. And that's what Imam Malik's approach is. So he said, I cancel all the narrations about saying no, because there is a large number of narrations said haram. But also, this direction, I don't like it, as well as the majority of the fuqaha. Why? Because again, you cancel one group of ahadith while you can reconcile it. We call this, for those who are interested to know what the terms in Arabic, نحن نقول الإعمال أولى من الإهمال. To use both ahadith better than canceling one of the group of the hadith. The other way is basically also, it is some Hanafi said that, some Maliki said that. They have an interesting approach. They said, whenever we see narration conflict with one another, we drop them both. يقول تعارض فتساقط. So if I ever find two narrations connected to each other, I drop both. And I go back to what? To the default rules. What's the default rules? That you can drink anyway you like. It's just drink. It's adab. So that's basically an approach. But that's also something we don't agree with that. Why? Because you can reconciliate between these narrations. How can we reconciliate? Some scholars said, number one, the ahadith that says drink while you are sitting, this is in case when you have chairs, where you have a suitable place to sit, you're at home, next to you, like a couch or like a bench, okay? And drinking, standing, where you rush. You're leaving this hall, mashallah, you take one of these cold water from the fridge, okay? You grab one on your way to drink. قَالُوا يُحْمَلْ هَذَا عَلَى الطُّمَأْنِينَ هَذَا عَلَى السُّرْعَةِ. That's why if you notice Nabi drink while what? While he's in Hajj, Tawaf, Zahma, too many people. So there's no space really for him to drink. So some said, no, maybe standing while you are... Anyway, the second opinion said, you drink standing if there is need. Like if you look at all the ahadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, drink standing when? The most authentic ahadith. In Mecca, in Hajj. But Hajj, it's so crowded. And you imagine, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, anything he does in Hajj, he should be what? Kabit. Sah? You kabit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you imagine if in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Hajj, sat? That means all the hujjaj, when they drink zamzam, they have to sit. How traffic jam this will be. It will be a disaster. That's right. So that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not sit, so nobody take it as a sunnah. Also they said, all the other ahadith shows you that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drink from the skin water. طب القربة, skin water, tight to the pillar. It's not something you can take it down and sit and drink from. It's like fountain, water fountain.
You can't sit. What, you're going to grab a chair and sit and you push the button to drink? No. So they said, some ulama said, so the ahadith that says he drinks standing for need. But if there is no need, you are in rush. But if no need, you should sit. Okay? But also, Ali ibn Abi Talib said it's allowed and he didn't make any condition. There is narration we just heard. We used to drink standing. Anas wa ghayra. They didn't make that. So that's also, I'm not sure if that's a very strong argument. Three, there's an opinion, I don't know if there's need to, worth mentioning even. Another why they said, and this is the one that I like the most. They said that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drinking standing is to show you the permissibility. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ahadith and narration say, do not, is to show you it is dislike. So it's not something recommended. And listen to this. We cannot cancel a statement from the Prophet ﷺ completely by narrations that describe his actions. دَائِمًا الْقَوْلِ أَقْوَى مِنَ الْفِعْلِ. The Prophet ﷺ's statement, it's more stronger than his actions. Why? Because the actions could have been done for a reason. There is a reason made him do it this way. But the statement, it's a general legislation. I don't know what's the circumstances that day made the Prophet ﷺ drink standing. But a statement, it's a general legislation. Yani, there is no statement says drink standing. If you have that, I will say, all what we have, actions. But we have a statement saying that the Prophet ﷺ, what? He said, do not drink standing, okay? And outside, it is dislike. And it even the dislike actions are levels. So there is dislike action very close to haram. And there is dislike action very close to mubah. So this one on the bottom of this category. It's almost like it's very light dislike, okay? What about eating? Can eating take the same rules of drinking? Standing? What time we pray, Aisha? Okay. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu said, he was asked, أنه نهى أن يشرب الرجل قائما. He forbade person to drink standing. Qatada, we ask Anas, Qatada said, what about eating? He said, ذلك أشد وفي رواية شر وأخبث. That is worst. Al-Qadhi Iyad said, there is no difference of opinions between the scholars that eating while standing, it's permissible. Okay? As for the statement of Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda, could means it is just dislike. But even Ibn Hazm, who said drinking standing haram, he said eating standing is halal, is okay. And the most strict one in drinking standing, he said with food it's okay. We don't know anyone in the history said it's haram, but the Hanabila said it is just dislike based on the Ibn Anas radiallahu anhu statement. But we do have another hadith, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, at Tirmidhi, he said we used to eat and to drink, okay, while we are standing and walking. So while we are walking and standing, we eat and drink. So that means it is permissible. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, it never was reported in the sunnah that ever in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was seen eating while he's walking or standing. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all the narration talk about him eating while he's sitting. But it doesn't mean it's haram. But just if you want to know what the Prophet's habit was. This narration, فَلْيَسْتَقِئْ, let him throw up what he drank. Even Ibn Hajar did not mention it in Bulugh al-Maram, by the way, even though it is in Muslim. But this, as I said, it is an addition which is weak and munkar, rejected by the scholars, rahimahullah, this extra addition. Okay, and definitely nobody said that you should throw up and, you know, you don't have to. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, said it's not even recommended or anything like that for some to drink, because drinking standing anyway, it's makruh. And he said it could be a ruling that was abrogated, or it could be an ijtihad, an opinion from one of the narrator. Why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dislike us to drink standing? In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you know what comes in your body when you drink standing, you would rather to throw it up. So what happened? You might ask. The hadith didn't say. There is another narration for this hadith that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person drinking standing. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Mah, stop. Would you like to drink in the same time with the cat?" Anybody has a cat here at home? You have a cat? You have a cat? Cat. I have a cat too. Do you need, you have a bowl for the cat? Where did the cat drink from? From where? You have a bowl. Yeah, because if you don't have, they're gonna go to the bathroom. Okay. See the bowl that for your cat? Would you drink from that bowl? You and the cat, you go down, you drink together. Would you drink from it? No. That's right. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the man, would you like to drink with the cat from the same container? He said, like, no. It's disgusting. No. قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ شَرِبَ مَعَكَ مَا هُوَ شَرٌّ مِنَ الْهِرِّ. What you just did by drinking or drinking standing, there is something worse than cat drunk with you. He said, what will be? A dog? No. قَالَ شَيْطَان. A shaytan. So when you drink standing, the shaytan drinks with you. And is this hadith authentic or not? There is a debate about it. And it seems to be a statement from Abu Hurairah more than a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to go pray. But it's worth mentioning. There is a medical research about, modern medical research about, it is healthier to drink sitting than standing. There's a plenty of talk on the, if you look into medical research about drinking standing versus drinking sitting, you'll find a plenty of reports about that. Has nothing to do with the hadith, has nothing to do with Islam. Those people never heard of this hadith, never heard of this etiquette. It is taught. And so many of them talking about it is when you stand up, especially when you jog the water straight, an empty stomach, this is not a very healthy for digesting. They said it's much, much better to drink sitting than standing. So this is something worth looking at. I don't have time to go over it, maybe next week, maybe I'll mention it a little bit, but I already look into that, and it's interesting to see, you know, that these etiquettes that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, we know for sure it is best for us in this dunya and for the akhirah. So I recommend all of us to care that if you find yourself capable of drinking while you are sitting, it's much better than drinking while you are standing, otherwise it's not haram at all. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk about another etiquette has to do with eating and drinking, which is right versus left. right hand versus left hand, and we'll see, is it recommended or it's haram to drink with right hand versus left hand? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes.